Hey, gang. Hey, gang, I'm looking at you. Welcome to, what's the name of the show? National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the impromptu comedy act of free speech. I never know what I'm going to say until I start saying it. And sometimes I'm surprised at what comes out of my mouth. But go to republicbroadcasting.org. That's how freely I speak. I don't even know what I'm saying when I'm saying it. That is free speech. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage. 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Part 2 of the Patrick and Jeremy Show. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Patrick. And it looks like so far my dreams of magical Negro Daniel Cameron winning the election in the gubernatorial race is not going to happen as of NBC News 8:50 p.m. Central Time. We got Bashir at 52% and Cameron at 47%.
How many percentage of the precincts have been counted?
Well, I'm scrolling through that. They're actually calling Bashir the winner.
Yeah, it's AP. And AP is the ultimate arbitrator of our democracy.
Man, if you look at an election map of the state, though, there's like, 75%, maybe 90% of the state is red. You know, and you got Louisville, Frankfort, Lexington, and some sparse counties here and there going blue. You know, I mean, as usual, I thought that Bashir would be totally annihilated, but you know, the legislature redistricting the lines, which should only affect like congressional representatives, it's not going to affect the gubernatorial race, as you pointed out. Mm-hmm. So pretty much the big black and liberal populated cities and counties elected Bashir, in spite of all of his COVID pro-child training stances. You know, but again, this does not represent like the majority of the state. So, but like you say, if you look at the electoral map, it's all concentrated in these very liberal areas. So it looks like Bashir has it. They've called him already.
Oh, well. Well, anyway, so I got something through the mail saying such and such candidate for such and such office stands against Israel. And I thought, based.
Well,
so-and-so stands against Israel. Some person I never heard of stands against Israel. I thought, okay, I'm voting for this person. So anyway, even though it's like a Democratic Socialist of America or something like that. So I go to the polls, and then there's some lady who is probably Jewish who was a Democrat, and she's saying, she saw that I had it in my hand. She says, don't believe that. It's not true. You know, that person totally stands with Israel. And I thought, oh, thanks for telling me. I voted for her.
Well, I mean, Cameron and Bashir both, you know, standing with Israel and all that stuff.
Everybody,
it doesn't make a difference. We still have 2/3 majority Republican in this, legislature here. So anything they want to push through, they can push it through. Bashir can veto it and he'll be overridden. So
it's
really doesn't
odd, though, that he would win again. It is kind of odd. I don't know.
I don't want to call hoax just yet, but probably hoax.
Who knows? The thing is, the very black areas are completely Democrat. And, you know, the way these things work is you've got what they call the majority inspector. I don't know. I guess it can depend on the state, but you've got the majority inspector and the minority inspector and the judges of elections. And you would think that they represent the interests of both parties, but they don't necessarily. And you can have them. And so, especially in the black areas, you may not have anybody who's representing the interests of Republican Party. And I think because the black neighborhoods tend to be very black, and because blacks tend to be monolithically Democratic, it provides a unique opportunity for fraud.
Well, and I'm calling Kentucky a total racist state. This is a racist state that didn't elect a black man as the first black governor. And I'm calling blacks and liberals racists in these big cities and liberal counties. You know, and I think the really the pushing issue here was abortion. You know, since R.V. Wade pushed it back to the states, Kentucky pretty much is, you know, the legislature took the stance of only in life of the mother can an abortion be done. Every other abortion is illegal. That's in litigation right now. But Cameron took a very pro-life stance. And then he backed off a little bit and said, well, maybe I would sign bills, you know, that would go outside of life of the mother. But that didn't help. I think the defining issue in Kentucky between Beshear and Cameron, assuming that this election was fair, and I don't assume that, but we're going to assume it for argument's sake, I think the defining issue was abortion. I think there's just too many women that want to just murder babies. And that's why Beshear won.
It may well have been. And I saw on in various election propaganda, well, propaganda mailings, things that came across my desk through my mailbox. I saw stuff from candidates who aren't going to occupy positions that have anything to do with abortion, and or we're still talking about abortion. Yeah. I mean, like the whole stand with Israel thing, I thought was pretty stupid. I was actually not really serious that it changed my mind because I don't believe anybody stands against Israel, and B, if you know a county council member or whatever stands with Israel, stands against Israel, it doesn't matter. And if a county council person is for abortion or against abortion, it doesn't impact the issue at all. But like I've said before, I've never voted one way or another. I've never had abortion be even a consideration in the way I vote. I don't care if somebody supports abortion or opposes abortion. I'm kind of sick of it because it does dominate the political people's political decision making, because it's something that people can understand. Fair enough. It's something that a lot of people feel strongly about one way or another. Fair enough. I won't say I don't feel as strongly about it, but I have very ambivalent feelings, and that nobody is going to share anyway. So I don't even worry about it.
As you know, with me, you know, I can never buy into the ends justifies the means type mentality. I think that's a very Jewish way of thinking of things. But that having been said, if the people in Kentucky, you know, get their way and abortion is extended outside of the life of the mother, it's going to mostly be blacks that are aborted. So there's that. Just throwing it out there.
There is that. But, you know, there has to be some sort of abortion policy. I would, if the abortion policy could be settled through rational dialogue, I wouldn't even want to be part of the rational dialogue, but that would be better. But it's never going to be settled through rational dialogue. It's just going to be people screaming at each other.
And as I mentioned, we got 2/3 majority in the Senate, Republican. Beshear's just going to be slapped down with anything that he vetoes. So it really is a non-issue who's governor, who's not. But I just thought that was interesting to comment on. All the right wingers, Cameron supporter, are basically MAGA peds, anti-abortion, anti-COVID lockdown, pro-Israel. You know, that's the profile in all these people that voted for Cameron. So, you know, you're not going to get away from the pro-Israel thing. If you're gonna elect a right-wing candidate that's, you know, anti-COVID lockdown, anti-child training, and pro-life, they're going to be pro-Israel. That's just the way it's going to go.
Yeah, that is the way it's going to go.
And they would vote. I mean, we don't have these laws now. They're in Tennessee, but they would totally vote for anti-Semitic hate speech laws, where you can't question Jewish power, or, you know, like they have in Florida and Georgia and Tennessee, where it's actually against the law to protest like synagogues or call out any kind of Jewish power. That's all against the law in these states. It's not just Florida. That's the way the right-wing conservatives go, the conservators.
Yep. Okay, let's see. So you had a – isn't there a election in New Jersey, a governor?
Did I have that on the prep? I don't see that.
Okay, so I'm looking at AP News, and Beshear is, like, at the top of the list. I know Virginia and New Jersey, they elect their governors in odd years. Let's see, what year is it? This year is I seem to remember in 1993 those two states having elections. How long ago is 1990? Oh, that was 30 years ago. Okay, that would be a different election cycle. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, I'm not aware of the New Jersey thing.
That's it. That's 2 years from now.
What I do have on the prep, what's this deal with wanting to send Palestinians to Canada and Ireland and to the desert?
Oh, did he say Canada too?
Israeli minister says dropping a nuclear bomb is an option. That's the Elijah guy that got fired.
Yeah, he said they need to go to Ireland or the desert.
I've even heard Canada was a, you know.
Canada. They need to go to Ireland or the desert or Canada.
This is the heritage minister that let the cat out of the bag that Israel has nukes.
The thing is, everybody knows it. And yet he's being reprimanded for saying something that everybody knows, because you're just not supposed to say it quite so. It's okay to threaten people, like make veiled threats, but to make explicit threats or whatever. I don't know. It's so bizarre. Everybody knows they have nuclear weapons, but then the people in power get to pretend that they don't. You know what else? You know what else really bugs me? When you hear these people talk about Israel like she, they'll say she. Israel has the right to defend herself. Have you heard people say that?
Like, I mean, biblically, the biblical Israel was a he. It was Jacob.
Yeah. Yeah. And in our language, like in the French language, countries are boys and girls, because the French don't have a word it, so they use he or she. And France is la France, vive la France, right? It's not la France, it's la France, vive la France. So it's a boy. But other countries, you know, some are girls, some are boys. And I don't even remember les États-Unis. Well, les États-Unis is plural, but is it plural masculine or plural feminine? I don't even remember. But in America, we don't do that. We don't refer to places as he or she. And so it's like, Israel, what are your pronouns? Actually, I wouldn't say he or she. Maybe we could call Israel Zay or Zim, right? One of those tranny pronouns. I think it would serve him right.
This heritage minister, Eli Yehu, which is basically the Hebrew name for Elijah. Anyway, he said that dropping an atomic bomb on Gaza is one of the realms of possibilities. He was let go, but then he also suggested that they be moved to Ireland or the desert. So, I mean, to Ireland, you know, it's got approximately 6 million Irish, 6 million. And how many of those are white now? They've got still got the homosexual Indian prime minister there. And
I didn't know they still had that guy.
Yeah, I think that guy's still in. I'll look it up while I'm talking. But
I'll look it up while you're talking.
My point is that, I mean, why Ireland? I mean, what did the Irish ever do? The Irish were neutral in World War II. I guess that's their biggest crime, is they were neutral. And they suffered, you know, the troubles with the British, the potato famine. That was a targeted genocide. I'm still waiting for my reparations because I'm 100% Irish people. And, you know, why the Irish? You know, why I send them there? Yes, I'm for the Palestinian people, but I'm for them having their land in Palestine. Don't send them other places. That's just going to perpetuate white genocide wherever they send them. Because, you know, I mean, the majority of Palestinians are not white. Wouldn't you say they're Arabic mixes as far as...
Well, I mean, they are a... they are relatively swarthy. In on the American census, they're going to be listed as white. Arabs are listed as white, even if they're very swarthy. And, you know, sometimes that can skew some of the crime figures. As Mike Enoch noted, you know, one year when you had some, was it an Afghan? I guess an Afghan went and shot up 50 people at a gay nightclub. Well, the Afghan was, when those 50 people were victims of a white shooter, because the Afghans are considered white in the census data.
Well, of course, because of white nationalist terrorists. By the way, Leo Varadkar.
Yeah, you're right.
The Indian homo, the butt pirate, is still prime minister of Ireland since 2022, since he got reelected.
Yeah, you're right.
And
you're right.
He was calling for a million. He wants a million third world migrants to come into Ireland. He's all about that, because he's not white. He doesn't care. He's not Irish. He doesn't care about the Irish people. So my point being, even though I stand in solidarity with Palestinians in general and Palestinian Christians in particular, I don't think they should be pushed off into white countries, not even Canada.
Not even Canada?
No, we got a lot of good white people in Canada, a lot of French people. You know, they may be liberal, you know, homo-loving baby killers, but I don't want any white genocide at all in any white countries. So I'm totally against. But I'm against the displacement of Palestinians, too, because that's their land. You know, Israel was given Palestine under the Balfour Declaration. It was just a declaration. It's not law. The UN recognized them as a state in 47, post-World War II. And because of the Holocaust, you know, you got to respect that, and you got to turn the other cheek when Israel is genociding Palestinian people. I don't support any of that. So I support Palestine in their land, just like I support all Muslims in their countries.
Yes. Very reasonable position. Hey, I think what is going to come on the table that hasn't been on the table for a long time is the, and I have not heard anybody talk about this in English, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're talking about this in Arabic, is the Jews giving up their settlements. Because you got in the West Bank, you got 700,000 Jews who are illegal aliens. And I did see, what was I reading? Was it, maybe it was Press TV or Al Jazeera, but noting that the movement of a civilian population into occupied territories is a violation of the Fourth Geneva Convention. It's a war crime. But they've been doing this for decades. And they've been trying to establish facts on the ground. Well, what are you going to do, Goy? All these people, they already live there. They built their houses. You can't expect them to move. But you can expect them to move after you've destroyed the houses of people who actually do have a right to that land. And I think people are going to start expecting them to move. I think Israel's completely shot itself in the foot. I do expect the settlements to, you know, we were talking about Scott Ritter in the last show. Scott Ritter is saying that he's not even sure if Israel's going to survive as a state, which, I don't want, and you don't want millions of Palestinians coming to Ireland or even Canada. How about the 6 million Jews in Israel? I think there's 7 million by now, but who wants them?
No, right. One more thing I wanted to get to in regards to this Palestinian thing. So I sent you a couple of screenshots of an email we got from one of our very loyal listeners. Let me see if I can pull this up. I'm scrolling now. This is about the canal dumping into Gaza, and it has to do with the Belt and Road Initiative. Tell me what I'm talking about.
Okay. You had sent me something about...
Begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraine, Ltd. at Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is about the canal dumping into Gaza, and it has to do with the Belt and Road Initiative. Tell me what I'm talking about.
Okay. You had sent me something about, so you have, there's the Sinai Peninsula, right? Which people know about the Sinai Peninsula because it's a good place to wander around for 40 years, right? That it's such a good place. People wander around there for 40 years.
Here we go. The Ben Gurion Canal. That was the topic. The theory is that Israel is not only genociding Palestinians, but they're clearing out that area in conjunction with the Belt and Road Initiative for a dumping spot for the Ben Gurion Canal.
Okay, so you have the Sinai Peninsula. And if you were to look at a map, or better yet, a globe, because the Earth is spherical. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Smushed. It's like a little bit squished. Okay. Anyway, but mostly spherical. Anyway, the Sinai, on the north, you got the Mediterranean. On the south, like the very south, you hit the Red Sea. But the Sinai is more or less shaped like a kind of like a triangle. And you've got these two fingers of water. One finger that goes up along the west side of the Sinai Peninsula, it goes up and it and it feeds into the Suez Canal. So you got the Suez Canal, which is linked, which links the Mediterranean Sea and the Red Sea. Now, this was built in, what was it built, like the 1870s or something? It's very old, and they didn't need locks for it. It's a sea level canal. Maybe they have some locks, but it's a sea level canal. And so it links the Mediterranean and the Red Sea, which effectively links the Mediterranean with the Indian Ocean. It's a great shipping lane. If you go up on the right side, I'm sorry, the east side of the Sinai Peninsula, I'm not quite sure what that body of water is, but at its very northern end, it hits, Israel's got one tiny little port in its very south that is a port on that little inlet from the Red Sea. And you could build a canal. It wouldn't be as easy, but this is, we're not in 1870 anymore. We're we're in the current year. And you could build a canal that would be a rival to the Suez Canal, that would be newer and bigger, and it would be a major shipping lane. It would be a major alternative to the Suez Canal. And you could build it as it stands. Well, you could build it entirely through Israeli territory. It would have to be about twice as long as the Suez Canal, but that's doable. If you went straight through Gaza, it would be shorter. If you don't go through Gaza, it's going to be, what would it be? Like an extra 30 miles long. So it's, you know, it's a possibility.
If Israel has noticed the way the political winds are blowing, and if they have, you know, accepted the Eurasian shift that China and Russia are going to be bipolar powers on the globe, and the U.S. is going to be relegated to pretty much, you know, ridicule and nothing. If that's the case, then there could be a dual purpose in cleansing the Palestinians and opening up this Gaza area for the Ben-Gurion Canal for the Belt and Road Initiatives. A new route for global energy and trade. That would go from the Red Sea. It opens the Red Sea from Gaza, Ashkelon, and it's behind the line where Israel's doing genocide. Yeah, so I pulled up this Turkish website. I'm reading about it now in addition to what the emailer sent us. No, that could be a thing. I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, they are masters of manipulation geopolitically. And I see, what I see is Israel, latching on to what China and Russia are doing. And this could be a whole thing. Not saying that China is supporting them in their genocide. I'm just saying that, that they could be, this could be one of their end games, opening up this canal and getting rid of the Gazans totally.
Well, you see, for Israel, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's nothing that's having Gaza there or not having Gaza there makes a difference of a certain number of miles. The canal would have to be maybe 10% longer. It's not that much of a game changer, honestly. And the fact that they haven't done it yet, I mean, if it was really that much of a game changer, if it was that important to them, they would have already been constructing it. So I don't know. And from the point of view of anybody, the people in Europe, the people in Asia have been trading through the Sinai, the Suez Canal for a century and a half. So nobody else, if it's not a game changer for anyone else.
Yeah. Looking at a map of it now, you get the Suez Canal, two basic arms.
The autumn wind and the winter winds, they have come and gone. And still the days, those lonely days, they go on and on.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
A Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafine, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
My fickle friend, the summer wind. The summer wind. Warm summer wind. Summer wind.
So nobody else, it's not a game changer for anyone else.
Yeah, looking at a map of it now, you get the Suez Canal, you got two basic arms of the Red Sea, both going into the Mediterranean there. Yeah, I can see what they're talking about.
Yeah, so you got the Gulf of Suez and the Gulf of Aqaba, or however it's pronounced.
The Ben-Gurion would shorten the route through Africa by 3 weeks, according to this publication. It would have a profound impact on the global route and play an escalating role in regional tensions, fueling the war. Now, this is according to a Turkish website, turkeynewspaper.com. So maybe there's some bias there.
Okay, the question is, tankers. Can tankers pass through? Tankers cannot pass through the Panama Canal, oil tankers. I think they pass through the Suez Canal. Let me see, though. Because the Panama Canal goes through mountains. So it's got to go. Whereas this is a sea level canal.
I think an overall point that I want to bring out, I want to get your comments on, is that the area of Israel and greater Israel, and even, the Ukraine area, both of those areas, Greater Israel and Ukraine, they're going to play a huge role in the upcoming global empire of China and Russia, trading with Europe and going down to Africa. Those are going to be very strategic points, no matter how you slice it.
Well, the there's land trade and sea trade, and sea is much cheaper. It's much cheaper to move things by sea than by land, by rail, which is why, you know, you look at history, and why would Portugal or Netherlands or England, for that matter, become major countries? Well, they became major world powers because they were on the sea and they had a lot of ports and they had a navy. Whereas, you know, the middle Mongolia in a previous era when horses were fast, when that was the fast way to get around, Mongolia might have been important, but it's so much cheaper to move things by sea. The land part, the Belt and Road Initiative, the funny thing is the road refers to the sea and the belt refers to the land, but the belt's almost an afterthought. But they are doing a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of rail, there's a lot of land construction, but in terms of getting things from Africa to, I don't know, I mean, most of Africa, the interior of Africa is hooked up to the coasts. So I don't know. It's something. I'm not saying it's not strategic, but I think it can be really over emphasized.
The website emphasizes in one of the paragraphs that China has great dependence. It has energy dependence in the Middle East, and so you know China has a huge reason for not wanting that Middle Eastern area to be destabilized.
Right.
Which is why I think we should look for talks very soon. And we're probably having them, you know, of Xi, Putin, and the Middle Eastern powers, the Muslim powers, coming together and putting a stop to this.
Well, the world has an interest in it, but I'm not sure when that article was written and what when the sources for that article were written. But one major change that's happened over the past year and a half in terms of energy flows is that Russian energy stopped flowing to Europe because of the sanctions and because of blowing up the pipeline. And so Russian energy instead is flowing much more to China, also to India. But there's just so much of that energy that had been going from Russia to Europe is now going Russia to China, which decreases China's dependence on the Middle East. And China's dependence on Middle Eastern oil was more Iran than probably than other countries. But I mean, China needs a lot of energy because it's the biggest industrial country in the world. So it's probably getting energy from all over. And it would be getting a lot of energy from the Middle East no matter what happens. But it's less exposed to the Middle East now than it was 2 years ago because of the Russian sanctions. And the Western countries, the Europeans, are way more dependent on the Middle East now than they were before.
Yeah, I'm copying this particular article and sending it to you just if you want to reference it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how important. Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the text here. We're doing this stuff on the fly because we're both working class stiffs.
We are.
So I sent that to you in the Skype text. It was dated October 25th, I believe. But, you know, like I said, I would not put that past the Jews in general. It's interesting. You seem to have this divergence between diaspora Jews in America, your Newland, your Blinken, that are, you know, seem to be going all out on this destroy Palestinians and overthrow Russia and support Ukraine. There seems to be a divergence in their interest and the interest of the state of Israel secular and their connection with this Belt and Road Initiative. I'm noticing that. Do you have some comments on that?
The diaspora Jews and the Israeli Jews don't have exactly the same interests. The diaspora Jews have been very protective of Israel. In the United States, you cannot criticize Israel, right? If you're a politician, you can't criticize Israel. If you're a Floridian and you go to a university, you can't criticize Israel. And that's because of that's not because so much of
Israeli control of our politics. People say Israel controls our politics. It doesn't. But pro-Israeli American Jews do. So you do have that. But the Israelis, I know Jewish people in America who just look at Israelis as being like really aggressive, really self-centered. And the Israelis do think that the entire universe revolves around them. And they do this stuff, like what they're doing now. And it's bad for Jews outside of it. It's really bad for Jews inside of Israel. But the Jews inside Israel expect everybody, all the Jews outside of Israel, to have their back. And, you know, you've got these left, I guess, could you call them left-wing Jews? You've got these peacenik Jews in Jewish Voice for Peace and other groups who are going around saying, not in my name, not in my name. And they're trying to disavow Israel. Now, at the same time, Hamas, you could say a little bit of the same thing about Hamas. I think Hamas planned and implemented that attack on October 7th. I think they did it on their own. And I think they were, to an extent, trying to force the hand of the people in the greater Arab and Muslim world who are always voicing support for Palestine. But I think the Hamas is trying to force their hand, say, put your money where your mouth is, or put your, you know, it, and, you know, for some people, the Arab and the Muslim on the street are really showing a lot of support. But the leaders of countries, they've always, you know, it's always been lip service, and sometimes money, but they haven't been prepared to back it up. And now the Hamas has kind of like forced the issue, and it's crunch time. And maybe Hamas, part of Hamas's calculus was, maybe it's all based on, because they're religious, maybe it's all based on the Al-Aqsa Mosque and not wanting it torn down and replaced with a third temple and stuff like that. Maybe that's what it all is. Or maybe there are people in Hamas that are looking around and saying, Israel's position, Israel's status of being above international law is dependent on the world's only superpower supporting it. And guess what? There's not a world's only superpower anymore. And the United States isn't in a position to give Israel carte blanche. And Israel just is finding it out too late. So,
I've always been, and still kind of am, of the position that the Hamas attack on October 7th was allowed at the least, and maybe planned at the worst. Possibly, I've even suggested that you have IDF agents in Hamas. But regardless, your point is salient that it doesn't matter whether, you know, what the nature of that attack was. The attack happened, and Israel tried to use it as an excuse to genocide Palestinians, and it's pushing, it's backfiring on global Jewish power majorly.
Yeah.
No matter what that attack was, it's caused a huge backlash to Jewish power, even amongst Jews, you know, in Europe and America. And you can say, and I think it's true, that Jews that protest the genocide of Palestinians, they're probably trying to get ahead of the thing. You know, they're trying to get control of the opposition so that it can't turn anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of truth there. But there's probably also a lot of just grassroots Jews that just don't like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, the leftist Jews in America, Europe, and Israel, they just don't like this. It's just bad optics. And you're seeing a backlash to Jewish power that I've never seen in my lifetime, nor have I read about. I mean, maybe since the pogroms in Russia that I can compare it to, or National Socialist Germany.
Yeah, there's a backlash, and the breakdown, if you look at America, and honestly, I don't think America is going to play a pivotal role, because you look at, like, Tony Blinken's going, he keeps going back and forth, and he's getting snubbed. He tries to go to Turkey. Where did he go? He went somewhere. Was it Turkey? And he, instead of meeting with the president or the prime minister or the foreign minister, he met with, like, the vice mayor of Istanbul or something like that. That's who met him. And so he's being completely disrespected. And I don't think the United States is going to play a key role. And I don't think American domestic opinion is going to play a pivotal role. I think domestic opinion in other countries is going to be a lot more important. But if you look at domestic opinion in the United States, it doesn't even break down so much Republicans versus Democrats or liberals versus conservatives. Where it really breaks down is generationally. Boomers versus Zoomers is how it breaks down. And the boomers are all pro-Israel because they don't know any better because they watch TV. And the Zoomers don't watch TV. And they get stuff through the internet, which isn't nearly as curated. It is to an extent, but Zoomers, like maybe middle-aged people, are used to look, they might watch things in the internet, but they're going to watch YouTube. Whereas the Zoomers are going to be looking at Telegram channels or whatever. I don't know because I'm not that young, but they're a lot more savvy at getting information, and they're a lot less brainwashed with Charlton Heston movies.
Yeah, well, I mean that's a salient point. I don't know about Charlton Heston.
Wasn't he? I know he was in Ben-Hur, but wasn't he in Ben-Hur, wasn't that partly like about some Jewish slave or something? And yeah, then Exodus, wasn't he in Exodus?
Well, Ben-Hur was a slave revolt in Rome. And then he played Moses in the Ten Commandments in the 1960s movie.
And then what about Exodus? Don Black was always referring to Exodus.
Is that the same movie?
Is it the same movie?
I don't know. Your point, though, that younger Jews, Jewish Gen Zs and young millennials are not buying into this.
And I'm saying, and not just Jews, but like just across the board.
Across the board. But speaking of Jewish power in particular, you got this revolt in the younger generation of Jewish power that's just not into this. Yeah. And I think the Jews have a lot of trouble on their hands. And Steinlein predicted this.
Yeah, you know, he did.
Especially with the Muslim revolts, you know, Jews have opened the doors and invaded Europe and the West and America with all these Muslims. And now they're having a lot of problems on their hands with these pro-Palestinian, what are they? Protests would be a good word. So you get a lot of problems here with Jewish power. I want to get back to the Belt and Road Initiative. If you're done with this topic for a minute,
sure.
What all connects? The Philippines has confirmed, this is according to Newsweek, it's given up on Chinese funding for major transportation projects. So you got a little bit of falling apart there. China will not be providing financial assistance on the three big ticket railway projects involving the Philippines. So you got that. I really think that's a major thing, is that the shift to power of the East and Jews sort of figuring out which way the winds are blowing. I think that's a huge thing that we need to, you know, fully flesh out.
Yeah.
And go ahead. I just pulled up that Philippines article to, you know, the Philippines were always pretty much controlled by America. They seem to be taking the side of the American Empire on this. But very few major countries are. We've lost Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
They're negotiating with Iran right now. You got Sunnis and Shiites, unprecedented negotiations happening in the wake of this Palestinian genocide. And so, you know, your point of the American Empire losing power and prominence is very salient. And Israel can't just do whatever it wants.
Right. So just regarding the Philippines real fast, last year, the son of Ferdinand Marcos, I think it's his son, not grandson, he was elected president of the Philippines, named Bongbong Marcos. and the Marcos family, when Marcos was president, the Philippines was pretty much a puppet of the United States. But even after he was overthrown, it was still a puppet of the United States. He stopped being useful to the United States. I don't know. Philippines is kind of an odd country. I've never been there, but it was an American colony. It was America's one big colony overseas. So from the Spanish-American War till 1946, the year after World War II. So for almost half a century, it was a colony of America. And a lot English is spoken there, not by necessarily by everybody, but it's the most Americanized country as I'm aware of in Asia. Like I said, I've never been there, but it seems pretty Americanized. And as a result, maybe as a result, it doesn't do very well economically. Yeah, it's not one of the Asian tigers. The other countries, you know, Malaysia, Thailand, they've all passed.
All the leaves are brown.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
As a result, maybe as a result, it doesn't do very well economically. It's not one of the Asian tigers. The other countries, you know, Malaysia, Thailand, they've all passed Philippines up, left it in the dust.
Well, so, meanwhile, white displacement continuing to happen here in America. If you want to shift gears just a little bit.
Let's shift.
New York City apparently is trying to pay migrants to leave, and they're refusing the payment. This is Daily Caller. New York is out of room. The city is literally paying for migrants to leave, but many refuse to go. Migrants who are being turned away from New York shelters are being given the option to leave at the city expense. But dozens of these migrants told the Daily Caller they don't intend to leave. Why would they leave? You can go to New York as a brown migrant and get $2,000 a month on a card, get a 5-star hotel, food, cell phone. What's not to like? This whole invasion thing is totally backfiring too, you know, just like Jewish power is backfiring in the Gaza scenario. This thing where so-called sanctuary cities and liberal cities, now they're refusing and trying to pay migrants to leave. Migrants don't want to leave. Who could blame them?
Yeah.
You come here on a free ticket. But what's at the, you know, what's at the key issue of all this is white genocide. I mean, Hot Wheels in Texas, you know, Governor Abbott, as well as DeSantis in Florida, you know, they think they're owning the libs by sending all of these people into liberal American cities. They're just helping along the genocide. You know, they're just helping it along. Why not put them on a bus and send them south? Guarantee you, if they did that, the feds would nationalize the guard and stop it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Then you provoke a crisis. Why not provoke a crisis?
Well, they don't intend to. They have no intention of that. Abbott and DeSantis are conservatards, and they're Israel first, and they're all for white genocide. And they want to make their supporters think that they're owning the libs, but in reality, they're just, you know, promoting the further genocide by sending these people into New York and Chicago and all the other areas. I mean, it's really just a big sham.
Indeed it is. Guess what? We're actually pretty much at the end of the show.
Well, good. We're at the end of content. So thanks, Patrick. Stay classy, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, and just getting back to the Philippines, they've been passed up by Thailand, left way in the dust. So Philippines per capita income, something like, or per capita GDP is like 3,500. Thailand's like 9,000. And Vietnam is way ahead of them. Even Indonesia's ahead of them. So that's what you get for being an American puppet. Anyway, stay classy.
Thank you.
I know you will.
You as well.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.